Well, the title of this message is Temptation by Divine Appointment. Temptation by Divine Appointment. Is that a weird title? Well, you know, we're going to learn about being led into temptation because we just prayed, lead us not into temptation, didn't we? Yeah. We just prayed that in the Lord's Prayer. Okay. Well, let's look at this. Matthew chapter 4 is where we're going to be looking at in the next several weeks, next 6 weeks. And verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. So this verse, it begins this Lenten series on the temptation of Jesus in the desert. And fasting is what we do at Lent, right? We fast at Lent from something. I've given up coffee, but then on Sundays you can break your fast for one day, and then you go back on Monday through Saturday doing your fast, and then you can break it on Sunday so that it adds up to be 40 days. It gives you a little break in the meantime. Jesus did not get a break, okay? But we do take those because we celebrate on Sunday His resurrection, and you do not fast on Sunday, okay? At least that's how it's been in the history of the church. Well, by fasting during this Lenten time, we try to identify with Jesus during this 40-day episode that He experienced of testing. And that's what the word temptation in the Greek means, testing. But Jesus' humanity, Jesus the incarnate Son of God, Jesus' humanity, how He identifies with us. That is the major theme that runs through this whole sermon series. And I think this will be brought out because we can't get around it. Jesus was identifying with us in His desert temptation. In that temptation, He went before us. He was going before us so that in our trials and temptations, He could say legitimately, follow me. Follow me. How could He say, follow me, if He was not doing it Himself? Not undergoing it Himself? If God leads us into trials, He's going to stay with us through them, isn't He? He's going to stay with us through Him. God identifies with our human journey, not by watching it from a heavenly perspective and say, oh yeah, that's what they're going through, I see what they're going through. No. God identifies with our human journey not by watching us live it out, but by having lived it out Himself. That makes Him such a wonderful, compassionate Savior. Now this truth is exemplified by this verse. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Then. What was His experience before the then? That's important in this verse. There was a then in this verse, and so it points to something that happened before. What was it? Well, let's start back at the very beginning, at His conception. What happened at the conception of Jesus? Here's what it says in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. He emptied Himself to become a real man, a real human being. God had to empty Himself. And that's what this word in the Philippians, it's called the kenosis. That's the name of the word. It means empty. It means you're really just void. You're emptied out. But to become a real man, God emptied Himself, but He still remained God. And we say, well, how does that work? Some people don't believe that. They don't believe the kenosis idea of Christ. They say no, he did not really empty Himself. But it says He did. It's like this. They have a hard time with this, but this is the same way it is. A car on empty is still the same car. Right? Put more gas back into it, runs fine, you know. A man or a woman who has amnesia, they're still the same, identically same individual, aren't they? If they get their memory back, they're still the same. It's just that they've lost their memory. When God emptied himself of divine omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence, those are the characteristics of God. If he emptied himself of those things to become human, he still remained God. That was his identity. If you ever have trouble with that, those are good illustrations for that. By this emptying, God experienced normal human life, a normal infancy, babyhood, a normal childhood. And during that time, he was learning. And that's when the Spirit started to speak to him. How do we know that the Spirit started to speak to him? We know because at 12 years old, he was in the temple and left behind by his parents when they were visiting Jerusalem. And this is what happened. This is interesting. His parents scolded him when they found him behind, staying behind in the temple. And here's what his answer in Luke 2. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" How did he know that? Well, the Spirit had told him that. But he was right about who he was. He was the Son of God. And the Spirit had revealed that to him. But his timing was off. He didn't get his timing right on it. And how do we know that? Because God put the brakes on for 18 years. God said, "Halt, stop. That's not what we're doing right now. You're growing, you're learning, but you're not supposed to be in the temple. You're supposed to be submitted to your parents and so on." So this is what it says in the following verses of that chapter in Luke 2. "Then he went down to Nazareth and was subject to them," to his parents. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." He had to learn spiritual discernment. He had to learn spiritual wisdom. He had to learn how to please God. And you say, "Well, wait a minute. He was God, yes, but he had emptied himself. Now he was learning how to be a human being, learning how to have spiritual wisdom, learning how to listen to God. God learning how to listen to God. God learning how to please God. So when God calls us to please him, or God calls us to have spiritual wisdom, he knows the root. He took it himself. He increased in those things. He increased in that learning and in favor with God and man. Then, 18 years later, just before his desert testing, just the verses that come before this, in Matthew chapter 3, right at the very end, came Christ's greatest confirmation of who he was. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Jesus had been growing and learning and increasing in his sensitivity to God's voice, God, the inner voice of his Father. He was becoming more and more sensitive to that. Now the climax. The same voice that spoke inside of him now was speaking from heaven, his Father's voice, speaking from heaven. And later, Jesus himself said this. He revealed the full extent of what happened next, or what happened before, when the Holy Spirit descended on him. He said what that meant. And I'm going to read it out of John, verse 34 of chapter 3 in the contemporary English version, because it says it so well. Here's what he said about himself. He said, "The Son was sent to speak God's message And he has been given the full power of God's Spirit. When did that happen? That day. He was given the full power of God's Spirit. It was like he was the same person, but now he had his gasoline tank full. Now he could be doing God things on the earth. But he was totally still human, submitting to the Holy Spirit and his Father's message and his Father's will during that time. But when this happened, when the Holy Spirit came, when the Father spoke, I'm confirming you. Oh, let's see, it wasn't time 18 years ago. Now it's time, finally, the long-awaited time for ministry to begin, his time of service to begin. But if he was to minister to lost souls who needed his preaching and his healing, the next question, why did the Holy Spirit lead him into the desert, a deserted place? Now it says desert, but really what that's talking about, it was a wilderness. People weren't out there in the desert. That wasn't a place you could live very well. He survived 40 days in fasting there, but it's not, wasn't a place, an inhabited place. There was nobody else there. The only reason we know this is Jesus told us what happened there. That's how we know it, because he was the only witness of what went on there. He was alone out there. Imagine Christ's thoughts when the Holy Spirit, after the first thing, the Holy Spirit, it says immediately in one of the Gospels, immediately he went, he was led of the Spirit into the desert. The first thing the Holy Spirit said after coming upon him in power was, go out and be alone. Go out where there's nobody. Now, that appeared probably to Christ's reasoning, his human reasoning, that appeared to be the exact opposite direction of his ministerial call, the call that was upon his life. Human reasoning can easily get us off the path that God has for us, God's plan for us. I failed recently in something just like this, and I still feel miserable about it. I was getting outside of my car to go to the radiation oncology, and I looked back and I saw the poem book that I have just now given to Don and Terry. I saw the poem book in my car, and I said, you know what? I'm going to give my poem book to somebody inside. But then I thought, no, I've already given them a poem book to the staff in there. I don't really need to do that. And it was just like an impression as I was closing the door. It's like, I should take that poem book. But I closed the door, locked the car, went in, got in my gown, sitting there. The man who came out right before the other fellow went in, and I was going to be after the next man, he was coming in, and we got into conversation, and he was going through his last session. He said, well, this is my last session, so I'll be seeing you, bye. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, that was who the book was for. Boy, did I feel miserable for not listening. My human reasoning got in the way. And the only good thing about this is that I can use it as an illustration in this message, because it was a bad thing. I don't know, but God had knowledge, but I did not have the knowledge of what was going to happen next, but God did. So you need to listen, right? Jesus listened. He did not fail. He went and did what he was supposed to do. He knew this. He knew that he had nothing to preach without his Father's voice. He had no ministry to people's needs without the power of the Holy Spirit. He was totally dependent upon God. He was God becoming a man so that God could learn what it means to be dependent on God. That's amazing. So why did Jesus have to be tested? He was the Son of God. Why did he have to be tested? It was for himself. That's first of all, it was for himself. He was still learning. He was still discovering firsthand what humans go through. Sometimes we do this alone with no audience to influence our behavior. You know, sometimes we're on our best behavior with an audience around, right? We do the right thing when there's an audience. But when we're alone, sometimes we don't. There was no audience there. It was just the audience was the Holy Spirit and His Father. Of course, Satan too. But he was alone and no audience to influence his behavior, but also no one to cheer him on to victory over bad choices. You know, it's helpful when there are others around. That's why God has given us the church, that we can cheer each other on through our trials and temptations and actually help us not to make bad choices, because we're loyal to Him and our brothers and sisters help us by cheering us on. Well, he didn't have that either. It was also, this testing was also for us. How was it for us? Jesus had to go before us Himself if He was to lead us through temptations. He had to go before us. You know, in the pioneer days, they had scouts, right? And these scouts would go into a new territory they'd never been in before. And they would scout it out, and they would find the best way to go through. Then they would go back, and they would take the traveling party, and they would guide them through the territory that was a new territory, through the territory that they themselves had experienced and scouted out, and take them down the right path so that they could safely get through that territory. Jesus was that scout. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. For this reason, He had to be made in it like His brothers in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. Jesus never asked us to do what He Himself won't do. Jesus never asked us to go anywhere that He Himself has not gone or wouldn't go. God leads us. If He leads us into trials, He will stay right there with us through them all the way. But this testing was a devilish temptation. It was devilish. The verse says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Now we may ask, how could God lead us into trials and temptations? How could He lead us into those things? Didn't Jesus say and tell us and teach us to pray this way? Pray this way. We pray this way today in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Yes. That's a good request. Jesus knows why we shouldn't be trying to get into temptation. Say, okay, Lord, I want some trials today to see how strong I am. No, we're not supposed to pray that way. But that prayer is very important to pray. Lead us not into temptation in a context. There is a context of that prayer, that request. It's a prayer request, but this is the context. And this was what He prayed before this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane was praying that prayer to avoid the cross, He was being led towards the cross, but He wanted to avoid the cross, and He was praying that prayer, in a sense the same thing. Lead me not into that trial of the cross. But what did He pray? What did He add to that prayer? Same thing as in the Lord's Prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. That is the whole thing that Jesus did in the temptation in the desert. Not my will, but thine be done. He did not think His own ways about going, no, I'm not going to go in the desert. I've just been filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go out and preach and heal. God's been preparing me for this for many, many years. So I'm going to go do... That's human reasoning. No, he was led of the Spirit, and that's what we need to be as Christians, led of the Spirit. Even if that means being led into times of trials and temptations, we have to pray, not my will, but thine be done. But why was Satan used for this time of testing? Why Satan? Well, that's how our fall in the Garden of Eden began. That's what happened in the fall. And that's how God began His redemption of humanity, in the wilderness that the fall had created. This world is a wilderness compared to what it was before the fall. And it was in that wilderness that Jesus was again, by Satan, tempted. Adam failed the original test of temptation, didn't he? That's why we're in this mess. But Jesus, the second Adam, was about to pass the test. God had promised that a woman's offspring would crush Satan's head. And Jesus, Mary's son, was about to begin that crushing. He was going to defeat Satan at his own words and temptation and so on. And this was no easy task. We say, oh, that was a cinch for Jesus to do this. No, it was not a cinch for Jesus to do it. It happened after the 40 days that the temptation began. He was weakened physically. Probably he was taxed emotionally, taxed mentally, and no calories, no energy, you know, to help him through this time. It was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. And so Christ was going before us to become our tried and true human leader. Our human leader, our human guide through such devilish testings. Hebrews chapter 2 again. Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Our scout, our divine scout in this territory of trial and testing is the expert human guide to take us through it. Jesus became our authentic human leader through temptation. And He had to depend not on His own human reasoning, but on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that had just come upon Him at His baptism. Now some say, oh, Jesus could not have failed because God cannot sin. Right, He cannot sin. God cannot. But God's power was emptied. He was a real man. And if this was true, that Jesus could not have failed, That idea turns this trial into a sham. It's just a show. It's just going through the motions, but it's not really true. This trial was real. Jesus had to pass this test to become our Savior, and He did. He did. If that was true, it denies His genuine humanity. If he could not have failed, He was not really human. But what does it say? What does it say in the passage? It says, for we do not, this is Hebrews chapter 4, many things in Hebrews talk about this, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus calls us to follow Him. He says, follow Me. Why? Because He knows the way. He knows the way through every temptation to have victory. Because He did it. So He can do it with us. He can bring us through the same way. He's that leader. And because He was a real man, He victoriously passed that test for human temptation. We can now hold on to another promise that is given in the Word of God, and we can take hold of it as a real strong promise from Christians. And this is it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Man. Remember that. Man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Common to man. Jesus was the man that we know. He's the man that we know who went right through those temptations. He was led Himself right through those temptations so that He could lead us through life's journeys. He could lead us through life's journeys. The incarnate Son of God who left the desert temptation with victory. If God leads us into trials, He stays right with us through them all the way through. Again and again, Christ's humanity comes out in this passage. His humanity becomes clear as we look at every of the temptations He went through. But remember this verse. Then Jesus, led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He was tempted by the devil. So whenever you are facing fierce and fiery trials, remember that your Lord, who already faced them Himself, is right there beside you to bring you through, to lead you through them. Let's pray. Father God, thank You again for having, first of all, gone through this temptation. And then, Lord, You could have kept that to Yourself, but no, it was very important for us, so You told Your disciples about this so that they could record what happened there. And it's Your own words. This is Your own story. You must have told them that for them to record it. And so, Lord, we know that the story is true, that it happened to You, and that because it happened to You, You can bring us through it too. We pray this in Jesus' name.